4 of Advent. Advent's a season in the church that we talk about waiting, and we're waiting for the coming Messiah, Jesus, to come into our world and offer the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And along with the season, we're in week 4 of our Advent series. And give you kind of a background where we've been, and you can catch up on our website anytime, but week 1, we talked about Mary, and the overall idea is each person in our series is receiving a message. The message of the Messiah, a promise of the Messiah, and how did they respond? How are they going to respond to this amazing news, this amazing message they got? And so week 1, we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she responded. And we looked at what is known in the scriptures as the Magnificat. It means my soul magnifies the Lord. So she was given this news that she would bring Jesus into the world, and she praised God in response through the Magnificat. Week 2, we looked at this guy named Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest in the temple, and every day he went and offered prayers, and he was the priest. He was, lack of better terms, a common priest. He was an everyday priest. There were hundreds of them, and he and his wife Elizabeth, for their entire marriage, they were trying to have a child, and they had prayed every day. Here's a man of God. Every single day he was praying, God, we just want a child, and they were not given a child. And I can imagine at that point they stopped praying because, well, he was old. And they were past the childbearing years, so they stopped. This is commentary. I imagine they kind of stopped praying for it. But they were given an amazing message that now, at this point in their lives, they would have a child. And that baby is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would lead the way for Jesus. And then last week we looked at the angels. And we looked at the shepherds. And the angels brought this message to the shepherds. And the shepherds took that message in through the whole world and told everybody. Today we're going to look at a guy named Simeon. Simeon's found in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22, and we're going to look at him, and we don't know a lot about him. Some people say he was a priest. Some people just say he was a man of God. We don't know fully, but we're going to look at Simeon and the message he got from the Holy Spirit. He was given a specific message as well. But this Christmas season, a lot of us do a lot of traveling. Right, we go visit family, we go visit friends, we do things, we travel. It's estimated this year that around 11 million people will travel this Christmas season. That's about a third of the United States population. They will travel, car, planes, and if you're in this area, you're probably leaving this week because the storm's coming, right? And maybe some have already left, right? Travel starts early, but they're traveling, and there's something in it that why we feel led to travel. Maybe we feel led to travel because it's our turn, right? You can kind of have those things where you travel and they travel. Some of us feel led to travel because really we just want to get out of Dodge for a little bit. Some of us feel led to travel because we need to see a family or friend we haven't seen in a while. But no matter what, usually the travel plans are thought out. Right? I mean, we feel led to make the plans and organize them and put them together. We don't always know. Sometimes we go on a whim, but not always. Usually not something this big. But there was a time when I was in college, some friends and I, we took a road trip. And we took a road trip to Lemon, South Dakota. anybody never heard of Lemon? Yeah. So, you'll understand, look it up, you'll know why everybody laughed. So we were led, one of our friends was from there, so we took the exciting 400-mile road trip from Sioux Falls to Lemon and made a bypass through Bismarck to see other family. I mean, it was crazy. It was just a fun trip. But we were led just to go away. A few years ago, my wife's wonderful grandfather passed away. And shortly before that, my wife just had this sense like, I need to go see Grandpa. And I'm like, go see Grandpa. Shortly after, unfortunately, he passed away, but she was just led to go there, right? And there were one of the many, I've been a server in a restaurant, I can't tell you how many times in places. So it was one of the jobs I've done, and there was a time where I was having a conversation with a young lady, coworker of mine, and she was asked a basic question about God, and I could tell there was something in me that I'm like, boy, she's really wanting something right now. And I felt led just to share the gospel with her. But, you know, there's things in it, you know, we feel led sometimes just to go somewhere, right? We feel led to just, I should really talk to so-and-so. Or I feel led, you know, I should really call so-and-so. You know, sometimes we just feel led to do something and we're not sure why. It just happens, right? And maybe you've had those things. Maybe you've acted upon them, these little, I guess I'd call them a God prompt. Just something that we feel like, yeah, we should probably do that. Well, Simeon in the Bible was given a lot of God prompts. What we see about Simeon, he was very, the Bible calls him devout. So he's very much a man of God. Whether he was a priest or not, I'm not sure. But he was a very devout man, and so he lived his life being led by the Holy Spirit. So what the Holy Spirit led him to do things, and we're going to see one of those things right now in Luke chapter 2. Let's look at this story together. It starts in verse 22. It's going to be on the screen. There's also a Bible in your pew if you don't have one. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So this message comes after many other messages. Many people received a different message about the coming Messiah. It comes after the crazy birthing experience in a manger in a cave with a bunch of stinky animals. It comes after all this stuff, and Simeon is given this message. But the parents now follow the law, and they go to the temple to have their child given to God. Now, they're dedicating him to God. Now, the rule was your firstborn son was literally taken to the temple and given to the church. And stop there. They're given to the church and consecrated in service for God. Now, the law says is if you have money, you're supposed to bring a ram or a sheep. If you don't have any money, you can bring two birds. And what you do is you'd sacrifice those animals, you'd sacrifice those animals to buy back as a sacrifice, as a penance for your son. So you'd offer the sacrifice in place of your child. So that's what they were doing, and they're bringing it up, and they're bringing this child to be dedicated according to the law of God. Okay? And they bring him in. And over the course of the series, what we looked at is all the different people that the message was brought to. And what I love about this is the fact that if you look at the people that it was brought to, they were a bunch of nobodies. Take that for what it is. Joseph was just a carpenter. Mary was just an average girl. Now she's an outcast, pregnant teenager, virgin. And then we talked about Zechariah, who was one of several hundred priests. He wasn't anything special. We look at the shepherds who were ridiculed and put off by society. And this week we see Zechariah, and we don't know a lot about him except that he was devout. And what that tells me is God is for you and God is for me. Now, he didn't come just to the politicians at the time. He didn't come for the military commanders. He didn't come for all the well-known people. In our day and age, he didn't come just for the Hollywood actors or the athletes or the politicians. God came for everybody. And the message that was brought were brought to a group of ragamuffin people. And their mission was to tell the world that Jesus came and the Messiah is here. And it should give us an overwhelming sense of peace that the creator of the universe came for you and came for me. It doesn't matter. We don't have to have it all put together. We don't have to get ourselves right and then come. God says, come and I will make you right. We don't have to get ourselves good enough, as it were. And God raises you up, and what he says, he gives you the promised Holy Spirit when you follow him. And this is where we find Simeon. Simeon was a very devout man. He was a very holy man. He was a man who was in touch with God. And he says he was led by the Spirit in all that he did. And there's a few things that we can learn about that. There's a few things that Simeon can teach us about how our lives as followers of Jesus, if you are one of those, that your lives can be led and should be led by the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? Because oftentimes we confuse and don't understand fully what the Holy Spirit's role is. And we think the Holy Spirit is just for a certain group of select or elected people, or we think the Holy Spirit just does all these really big things in people's lives, these big expressions. And so we don't fully understand sometimes what being led in the Spirit means. And I think Simeon gives us a beautiful picture and a great idea and understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit. So the first thing that we're going to learn from Simeon is that, like Simeon, we can be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit. Verse 25 says the Holy Spirit was on him. It was on him. Now, Simeon's name literally means to hearken or to listen. So you take a man whose name literally means to listen, and he's listening to the Holy Spirit. I think that's pretty easy. That's pretty cool, actually. It's quite fitting. So he listens to the God prompt. And the God prompt says, go to the temple to worship. Okay, go to the temple to worship. So he follows that God prompt to go to the temple. I'm sure he received this prompting hundreds of times. Or a prompting to go visit somebody. Or a prompting to pray for somebody. A prompting to visit. He didn't know. But he received this God prompt yet again in his life to go to the temple. And so what does he do? He simply obeys and goes to the temple and worship. And I can imagine while he's there that, you know, he's just, God told me to go. So I'll pray. Or I'll observe, or I'll meet people as they come in. If he was a priest, which we don't know, but if he was fulfilling some priestly obligations, right? So he's there, and he's fulfilling and doing what Jesus did. And then he sees Joseph and Mary, and they're fulfilling their obligation according to the law to come and dedicate their son. And he sees them, and he's overwhelmed, and they're there to bring the offering. Now, we want to talk about Joseph and Mary for a couple reasons, because the author Luke ties in a couple of these rituals together. He talks about the redemption of the firstborn, and he talks about the purification. And we talked about that they were supposed to bring an animal, they were supposed to bring a sacrifice as a redemption for their own child. And what we see is that Mary and Joseph brought what? They brought two small birds. Now again, what that tells me is they didn't have anything. They weren't anything special. I can't imagine they were dressed in their Sunday best, as it were. They didn't have Sunday best, which is awesome because it tells me just come as you are. You don't have to you don't have to look that great. Point in case. Just come as you are. Mary and Joseph come with this baby, and they're just they're dressed in what they had. They would not have stood out, is my point. And Simeon sees them. And he's overwhelmed because, again, here's a man led by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is leading him, and there they are. And he sees them, and he goes over to them, and he notices them, and he's led by the Spirit. And see, here's the deal. When our lives are led by the Spirit, we start to see things differently. We start to think about things differently. We start to recognize people that we wouldn't normally recognize. We start to see issues, we start to see some of the hurt and the brokenness that we wouldn't normally recognize when we are led by the Spirit of God, and that's what Simeon's doing. Simeon made a decision in his life a long time ago who and what he was going to give control and lordship of. He had a decision, and we have a decision. Who are we going to give over our lives to? Are we going to give it over to chasing more money? Are we going to give it to our job? Are we going to give it, dare I say, to our families? What are we going to give our lives to? What are we going to say, this is the most important thing in my life, and this is what I'm going to pursue? Simeon made that decision a long time ago, says, my life is dedicated to God. A follower of Jesus, if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, prays that prayer, says, God, in humble submission, I give my life to you. And you pursue him, and you allow him to lead you. And when we do that, the lens in which we look at this world and in our lives starts to change. Another thing we learn is that, like Simeon, we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit of God. Advent, as we said already, is a spirit of waiting. It's also a season and spirit of worship. Now, the word waiting here literally means an expectation. The Israelites were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah, who the Messiah was going to be and when he was going to come. Look what it says in Luke 3. I didn't have it on the board, sorry. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. So they see John the Baptist and they're expecting, maybe he's it, because we're waiting, we're expecting, is he the one? Is he the one? So they're waiting and they're waiting. Now the word consolation there, it speaks of comfort. It speaks of comfort. Simeon is waiting and waiting comfortably. Now Simeon was not a young man, and we read in the scriptures that he was ready. He was kind of at the end that, okay, I'm ready to go. But he was given a promise by God that he would not die without seeing the Messiah. And so he's getting up there in age, and I don't know about you, but there's a point where we as humans, we start to wonder if this is going to happen, right? And we saw that with Zechariah. And we see that, but Simeon, being a man of God, he waited comfortably. How in the world does he do that? How is he waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, and he's doing it comfortably? Every now and then, I have to have something in my house or my car repaired, or I'm waiting for an estimate on something, and I make a phone call, and their response is, yeah, sounds good, we will call you tomorrow with that answer. Or I'll call and nobody answers. Or I'll call and leave a message and they never call back. I don't know about you, but I don't wait comfortably. I get very agitated. Like, you said you were going to do this. Why are you not doing this? Right? If somebody tells me they're going to call me tomorrow. I don't wait comfortably because clearly they have nothing else going on in their life except my problem. Right? That's sarcasm if you didn't pick up. All right. But Simeon waited comfortably. He wasn't stressed out. He didn't freak out that the Messiah wasn't going to come. He was given a promise by God. And he was able to rest comfortably. And God said, look, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. I promise. And he could rest in that. He could wait. It doesn't matter if he was 8, 18, or 85. He was given a promise by God, and he knew it would come true because he was led by the Spirit of God and he walked in the Spirit of God daily. He did that by letting his life be a life of worship. And we see that there's a prompting to the worship. It says, you know, he was prompted to go to the temple. The Holy Spirit prompted him to the place of worship. We see there's a benefit in worship. It says he went over and he held the baby. Boy, that's a He not only would Simeon see and experience the Messiah, he'd get to touch the Messiah. He'd get to hold the Messiah, the promised Savior. That's beyond the promise God gave him. There is a benefit in worship when we are led by the Spirit. He met the Christ child. There's benefits to us corporately and personally in our worship, and they're greatly increased. Those experiences are greatly increased when we are led by the Spirit of God. God longs to speak with us. He longs to know you. And we see there's praise in worship. It says Simeon praised God. The word praise or blessed gives us our English word eulogy. And eulogy means to praise or celebrate with praises. Right? Simeon glorified and praised God for the message that he got and the fulfillment of the promise. That is pretty cool. See, when our affections are on Jesus, we will praise God. Simeon received that promise from God, and it was out of that promise that Simeon praised him. See, it's when we're walking with God daily, when we're taking the time to experience and know God daily, the Spirit of God will lead us to things, people, places that we never would have had before. See, to be with God, to live close with God, is not an occasional. It's not a once a week thing. It's a constant. It's a daily connection with God. And Simeon, no doubt, had that daily connection. And when we do that, when we're walking in the Spirit of God, we are prepared to face the end of life. Simeon was ready. He says, I am ready to depart. He even said that in his prayer. Take me now. I am ready to depart. He had absolute comfort with that. God promised that he would be able to go by seeing the Messiah. And his response was praise and proclaiming. See, that prophecy over Jesus, the prophecy he gave, it was called the Nunc Dimittis. I'm sure I butchered that. But it means now depart. So his whole hymn, his whole song, his whole praise was like, now I can depart. I've seen it all. God fulfilled his promise. I'm ready to go. What a promise. What a blessing. The next thing we can learn from Simeon is, like Simeon, we can be led by the Spirit. Simeon was led to the temple to worship. He was led by the Spirit to speak over baby Jesus. He was led by the Spirit to give prophecy over Joseph and Mary. He was led. During my freshman year of high school, I went to a youth rally in Denver, Colorado. And I don't remember a whole bunch of this event because it was a couple years ago. But we were there. And what I do remember is at the end, they had us all around the outside of the building. Or not the building, but the inside of the conference center. And the teenagers, we were all, I think we were singing or doing something, I don't know. Like I said, a little foggy. But the night ended and we're all still just hanging out and talking. And what I do remember is this lady came up to me and she told me a few things that I do remember. She says, I was given a dream, vision, whatever you want to call it, several years ago of a young man standing there with his arms raised, singing, but with a feeling of wanting more. She says, and I, for many years, I've been looking and looking and looking, waiting to find that person. And tonight I found it when I saw you. And I'm like, you know, I'm just a freshman in high school, so, you know, pretty cool. Now, I want to be very clear on something. I do not believe I have the gift of prophecy, nor do I think I'm really that important. And my wife and kids make sure of that. But here's the deal. This lady, I truly believe, was led by the Holy Spirit in her life. And she was given a message. She was led to do something. She was led to bring a message to someone, and I just happened to be that person. And unfortunately, being a young man who was a little naive and didn't know any better, I didn't write down what she continued to tell me, and I wish I'd done that. But she told me some things, and it was pretty incredible. Now, I want to tell you that story I really want to celebrate that woman, but I also want you to know that I'm a little hesitant on it, because there are many times over the course of my life I have been given a word from God from somebody who clearly the message did not come from God. Okay, can I just say that as lovingly as possible? So I want to balance that out. Okay, so I understand that, but this woman spoke into my life in such an amazing way and in a powerful way because I believe that she was led by God. And so Simeon is led by God and he has this message for the family. And he tells Joseph and Mary, he says, your son will have a paradoxical effect. Sorry about the big word. It'll have a paradoxical effect on society. It'll split nations. Some people will fully declare that he is the Messiah. Others will completely reject him. You will watch your son be physically, morally, emotionally beat up. Other people will love him. And he tells Mary flat out, says the pain he will endure, you will also endure pain. You will watch your son go through this. And the only way he's able to do that is because he's walking with God daily. He is led by the Holy Spirit to give a message, and we see that message come true in Scripture, and we're going to celebrate that around Easter time. But the deal is, with Jesus, there's no neutral ground. And that's what Simeon was saying. Look, you're either going to believe Jesus was the Messiah, you're going to surrender your life to Jesus, or you're not. There's no middle ground. You get the importance of that? Are you with Jesus or are you not with Jesus? Because if we accept him, if we are led by the Spirit of God, it requires us to have a daily connection with him. It is important and vital to have that connection with him. See, Advent is a powerful, powerful time of waiting. None of us like to wait. But it's a powerful time of waiting and celebration and worship. Not only the baby Jesus, but we also worship the job and the role the baby came to do as the Messiah. And he came to deliver us from sin and offer us forgiveness. And he came to mature us and grow us and develop us to be more Christ-like. So have you determined in your heart and in your mind who you're going to give control to? Have you given control over, instead highlighted and raised your family above God? Have you raised up your job above God? Have you raised up money above God? What is it that you are raising above God? Have you determined in your mind and your heart who you are giving control to? I think Advent's a perfect time for us to recognize and identify who we're going to give control to. In that time of waiting, in that time of just worship and celebrate, it gives us the time in our hearts and minds to determine what it is we will value, what it is we will give control over to. Have you done that? Have you said this? Yeah, this is it. Unashamed, I'm giving my life to my job. How unashamed, I am giving my life to Jesus. Hopefully that is it and you understand the value of Jesus more than a job. But this Advent season, I hope you will take that opportunity to do that, that you will identify in this time of waiting that the Messiah has come for you. He isn't just for the elected, the important social media people, the actors, the athletes, the politicians, the really important people of society. He came for you and for me. And I hope you have made that commitment in your heart and your mind. If not, ask yourself why. Determine in your heart and your mind this Advent. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for the opportunity to worship together corporately and celebrate you. And God, to be honest, there are times I don't, Holy Spirit, hey, I don't understand fully all your workings and your ins and outs. And I know your name has been misrepresented and misconstrued and been used and caused a lot of hurt in people's lives. And Holy Spirit, I humbly repent of that if I cause some of that in people's lives. So this Advent season, Jesus, as we wait for you and we remember you coming into our world as the promised Messiah, the one that can take away the sin, that can make us right with God, help us in our hearts and our minds to open up to you a little bit more, to start allowing ourselves to ask you those questions and allow you to ask us those questions about who you are. And if we haven't done that, we haven't said, God, I give you my life. Maybe today you want to do that. Maybe you say, Jesus, I you know what? I need you to take away these things that I have placed as a higher elevation. I need to get my focus and be led by you. Come into my life today. I give you control and I want to be a follower of you. Maybe you did that for the first time. Maybe you've done that a long time ago, but maybe this Advent season, as you're waiting, and you're waiting maybe for that crazy preacher to stop talking, that you would give your life in a new way. Said, Jesus, I've lost focus. Restore in this time of waiting my focus. And I give my life and my resources, my time, my heart to you again. So Father, we give you this afternoon, as people travel, as people go away for whatever reason, that they would be led by you in their conversations, that they would be led by you in their engagements, that you would give us new eyes, new hearts to see, to engage, and to love people in a way that we never would have before. But we know that there's something in us maybe just prompting us to do it. And we're going to give you the credit. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together and to celebrate you this morning. Help us not to lose sight of that as we go on our daily basis and as tomorrow as we come together for Christmas Eve, that we could celebrate you and we can one last time before the new year just lift up your name together. God, we give you this day. We love you.